Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Welcome to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler. And as most of you know who've been logging on each week, we rotate through different growth strategies, industries, and geographies. And so one week we're going to be focusing on a retailer in Singapore who's grown through franchising, and the next week the interview is with a manufacturer in Kansas City who's growing through acquisitions. And the host is a peer-to-peer-to-peer program, so the host, the guests, and the listeners are executives of mid-sized companies. Most of us are in that $20 to $200 million range with $1 billion in our sights. So what I've been doing, and this is like our I think it's the third in our series, the sequence changes. Sometimes we pre-record a show and it shows up a little later, so I don't want to mistake that. But we're doing a series of programs on the changing impact of real estate in your strategic decision-making. Now think about the significance of that. You know, you're going to hear some things from me for the next minute or so that seem obvious, but I'm seeing some strategic planning that's made as though we're forgetting the obvious. Right. Used to, when you were doing strategic planning, you'd get yourself centered about where your business is going. Is this the year to launch, you know, the next international expansion? Is this the year that we need to have our products step up a level so that we can go after a whole new market? Is this the year that we're going to be having innovation lead, or are we going to maintain what we had? Is this the year that we're going to be preparing for an IPO? Is this the year that the board's going to come on and we're going to change from advisory committee? Is this the year we change from having a controller to a CFO? I didn't say the word real estate in any of that, did I? And the owners often sit there and go, all right, real estate's an asset. We know it's going to go up in price. It's going to be a really good investment. And so separate, over on a separate discussion, the owners are looking at, you know, the best properties and where we want this palatial building, where do we want this monument to our wonderfulness. And they put up a great building that's got marble pillars, and they have great meeting rooms, and it looks really great. And there isn't an integration of the strategy of the business and the real estate holdings, often because of who are the owners, a separate ownership pattern for the real estate and a separate pattern for the ownership of the building. Now, they have to be cooperative, but I am seeing, particularly during what's going on with the financial crisis that we're in and the changes in the marketplace and this global change in how money works, if we don't have integrated strategic planning with what's going on with your real estate holdings and where the strategy of your business is, wow, talk about cash drain. Talk about something that's not going to make a magnet for each of them to work. It's got to be more integrated. So that's one of the reasons that we're doing this series of programs. So one of the programs was a developer. I invited who I felt was a very visionary person, Peter Cocosiello of Advance Group. I think, you know, he's really smart. He's been traveling internationally for a reason, for a long time, to look at countries that have been productive and figuring out ways to save money and figuring out how. And so he's been aiming toward more urban development for quite a while now in his commercial real estate business. So, you know, look at how exciting it is to have your headquarters located near a train station. And it has solar panels on the roof because those reasons, not just save you money, but because the workforce of the future is going to be valuing that you're ecologically smart and that they don't have to spend their whole life and their paycheck to pay for the car they're sitting in on a highway trying to get to work. This is the interaction and the integration of strategy. So today, I'm going to introduce you to in a few minutes to Gil Medina. Now, this guy, I mean, wait till you hear the pedigree. The multiple jobs that he's had are symbolic of the whole question we're talking about. It takes having an economic development knowledge. It takes having a knowledge of real estate. It takes having a knowledge of accounting and legal work and all kinds of other things. Wait till you hear it. To understand this, but, you know, are you actually, now just think about this. Again, we're talking peer-to-peer here. Honestly, look around. Close your eyes if you have to, but look around the room as to who's giving you advice about your physical plant, about where your building's going to be, how fast is it going to grow, how much are you going to invest in it, and think about some of the questions we put out in the promotion. Some of the questions that people have are, You know, should you be leasing your building or should you be buying? Or should you be, you know, renegotiating the lease on your building? Should you be, you know, what are some of the mistakes some other people are making? Should you, is this the time for you to be buying the undervalued assets out there, lease them to yourself and then sell it to developers? There's a lot of questions right now. So what I want you to do is think about who's at the table when you're making those decisions. If it's only a builder, no offense to builders, because we're going to have some people on the series that are from the building side. But if they don't get the accounting and the legal and the economic development and the future-oriented and your strategy, what are they going to recommend? The building they know how to build. You know, it's like, be careful. It's like the difference between an insurance salesperson and a real financial planner. Same difference. So the first thing I'd like you to hear in this opening segment is my reminding you that integration of your real estate holdings and your strategic plan is huge, never been more important, because it isn't just going to just automatically gain in value. So it better be the right place at the right time for the right reasons. And look around the room and make sure that you have visionaries sitting at the table that have the right combination of experience advising you. Now, where would you find them? I'm going to cheat a little bit. That's why my guests in this five series are so important. I'm making a pretty strong endorsement and recommendation for where you look. And one of the things I'd like to comment on before we even get into the discussion with Gil Medina is shop. Don't presume that somebody who sounds bright, gives a speech, is going to be able to do this. I do, you know, my firm, obviously, we specialize in growth strategies for companies that are truly aggressive. Our clients are the ones that want to get on the Inc. 500 lists of the fastest growing privately held companies, and the bigger thing is they want to be able to stay there. It's not enough to just fast grow and kill your profit. That's not cool at all. How do you be the most profitable company, sustainable growth, and stay on those kind of lists? That's the hot part. All right, so when we're doing strategic planning, who would I bring in the room to be adding to the discussion about the real estate piece? They got to be careful who you bring in. So if in your area, you know, you don't know how to go about shopping, I want you to start reading the articles that these people are writing. Does it sound like they're writing about your strategy? Does it sound like they're writing about your employees? Does it sound like they're writing about your marketplace and your challenges? Or does it look like they're writing about, here's what you do with real estate, here's how you finance it? Does it feel mechanical? Does it feel detached? Or does it feel like they're really trying to figure out your situation? That's number one. So when you look, when you shop, when you're listening, listen for who they're talking about, their capabilities or your issues. That's number one. Second thing is, when you bring people into the room and you're talking about where you're going, are they good listeners? Are they so full of themselves about how smart they are? Because a lot of the people in this kind of field, they're very, very bright, but they don't listen. So when you're talking about your strategic planning process and what are you weighing and what's important to you, what are you worried about, what are you excited about, where's your business, what's the differentiation of your business, what are your capabilities, what kinds of things are you considering, so you don't get trapped into a punchline, do they shut up enough that they can actually listen to you about your strategy, your questions, your decision-making process, and where you're going? Because how are they going to give you advice that they can't listen? And then the third suggestion I'd give you is, what's the financial model? How are they paid? If it is strictly, you know, it's going to, just like when you're trying to find a CPA firm, you know, the difference between the local guy that has the boutique shop, and then you have the regional size firms, and then you're thinking about going to, you know, what used to be the Big Eight, but the premier shops across the world. There's a big decision, even when you're saying, okay, we're ready for the KPMGs, et cetera. All right, even then, you need to listen to what's the financial model of who they bring into the room. Are you getting the senior consultants in the real estate companies, in the strategic planning companies, in the accounting companies, same difference, in the lawyers, think about it, isn't it the same? And what I'm finding, I'm seeing this over and over. I've stopped this with some of my clients. It's amazing the money that they're bleeding, because they go to a big firm that looks like they're going to be, you know, getting all kinds of help, and they weren't careful enough to get the specialists in their industry, or the specialists in the types of property that they're looking at, or the specialists in the type of process they use to make decisions. And they end up with some, you know, excuse my language, but you can hear how I feel about this. They end up with some kid that might have an MBA that came out of a big-name school, but is so full of themselves that, look at what I'm saying, they can't listen. They're selling you something rather than listening to you. They didn't have the strong enough background to integrate all their expertise with what you're doing, and then it's just their billable fee. So I really want you to have kind of a jaundiced look. I want you to be kind of skeptical. Truly look at who gets deployed on your account. Do they have the kind of pedigree? Do they have the listening ability? Do they demonstrate that they know your real estate holdings and the decisions are some of the most important decisions you're going to be making ever, ever? More important than some of your production-related equipment. This is big. So what I'm doing, and you know, and he knows this is like an endorsement, but I've known Gil Medina for a long time, and I'm going to introduce him prior to the break, and I'm asking the producer, how many more minutes do we have? We got 3 minutes. So what I want to do is I want to introduce Gil as to why I chose him. Now, I met Gil. You there, Gil?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hi, are you already embarrassed?
Not yet.
Not yet? Okay. Well, I didn't do it then. I didn't do it well. Excuse me for not doing it well enough. Okay. Now, I met Gil when New Jersey was getting into Prosperity, New Jersey. And Gil was, at the time, Commissioner of Economic Development. Am I saying it right?
It was the Secretary of Commerce for the state of New Jersey.
Secretary. Okay. Secretary of Commerce. And now think about that, okay? We're going to get into real estate, but this is a Secretary of Commerce. And he's putting together the private, public partnership called Prosperity New Jersey. And the reason was we're really trying to make New Jersey the destination for business. We're really trying to make this, that we're open for business. This is the place you need to be. It's not just a highway that you drive through. So that's not an easy thing to do. And I watched the magician work here with pleasing the CEOs, the governor, and the small businesses, and the media, et cetera. He could work the room and make everybody feel smart. Not everybody can do that. So then, when that position was something that you were basically done with, it was interesting to see where you would end up. So a little bit of what I want you to help us here is, how did you end up? Now, you're at what? I'm going to make sure I say your title right, and I'm going to make a mistake. What's your current title, Gil?
Yeah, I'm the Executive Managing Director of Cushman & Wakefield, and Cushman & Wakefield is one of the global commercial real estate companies. It's one of three global commercial real estate companies.
Yeah, it's a big firm. I mean, the reputation for what I was talking about in my opening is excellent. You know, the idea of the strategic integration for real estate doesn't, it's earned. So now, how did you end up? I mean, am I right? You've got the CPA, you've got the legal background. Why did you end up in the executive managing director of a commercial real estate firm? How come?
Well, Don, as you indicated, I'm a lawyer and a CPA by profession, and I was practicing both very happily in New Jersey when the governor of New Jersey, the governor-elect of New Jersey, called me mm-hmm. and asked me to join her administration as her Secretary of Commerce. And mm-hmm. I view that as, a great opportunity to contribute to the public sector, but also to try to, experiment with some of the models that I have developed in my mind on how government could be a partner for the private sector in deed, not just in word. And after I served as Secretary of Commerce for a number of years, after 7 years, I had the opportunity to pick and choose some of the things that I wanted to do afterwards. And
I know it sounds funny. Did you know you were going to end up at Cushman Wakefield, or did they find you?
No. Actually, they recruited me. I spent a couple of years working as a VP for international marketing for a voice over IP firm.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that.
Decided that I wanted to go. I wanted to work in the life science environment, so I went to work for another couple of years with a small life science biotech startup, and then Cushman & Wakefield recruited me to, at the time, help them spearhead a new technology initiative that we undertook. And what we've done is we've put together a best of breed group of professionals who specialize on the needs of technology companies. And then I became the manager of Cushman & Wakefield's New Jersey operations, which are, one of its biggest operations. We have over 15,000 employees in over 80 countries. So we have a pretty large footprint globally.
Okay, now I have to take a break, but I wanted to make sure that the listeners knew. I mean, this is the guy that knows what he's talking about, because I'm going to ask some pretty direct questions from Gil to get advice for you about what to do in your strategic planning, all right? So you now know the pedigree. You know that he knows what he's doing. Let me take a break. I'm going to come right back with Gil, and we'll get right into it. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
From the stock market floor to your laptop, we are Voice America Business.
you need directions to solid financial future? If so, the Money Answer Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with a roadmap to making smart money decisions in every area of your personal finances. Join Jordan every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, for the Money Answer Show on the Voice America Business Channel. Learn how and where to get the best deals on mortgages, cars, and insurance. Find out the best ways to save for college and retirement, get out of debt, improve your credit rating, and save on your taxes. The Money Answer Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with great tips on investment opportunities in real estate, stocks, annuities, and other investment vehicles. That's the Money Answer Show with Jordan Goodman on the Voice America Business Channel every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
I'm Paul Hopkins, CEO of Farmers Insurance, and a proud sponsor of March of Dimes' premier walking event, March for Babies, formerly known as Walk America. More babies begin healthy lives because of March of Dimes' research and programs. And with farmers' support, we can do even more for families all over America. One day, all babies will be born healthy, but we have to walk to get there. Join the March for Babies. Sign up at marchforbabies.org.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the growth strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDANA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
All we talk about is money. Call us toll free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and today I am interviewing Gilberto Medina. You know, Cinco de Mayo is really like, what, yesterday? So I know you as Gil Medina, so I don't want to be misstating your name, though. Anyway, this is the Executive Managing Director of the commercial real estate service firm, Cushman Wakefield, and this is an international firm, and they have a reputation for truly integrating the real estate strategy and execution with your strategic planning, and this is important, and that's the purpose of this show. So I want to start with, Gil, from all your experience, what are some of the mistakes that you've seen that executives and mid-sized companies make?
You know, and it's interesting because I think as executives in almost every size company, if you look at the major cost factors for a business, normally the human resources are the most costly. But after that, real estate is either number two or number three.
Yep.
And very seldom do executives view real estate as a strategic asset.
Mm-hmm.
And in many ways, it really is.
Yep. Okay, so one is just the mindset of they're not noticing it's a huge cost.
It is a very significant cost, and there is a tendency to think that it's a cost that can't be managed, and of course it can be.
See, now I like having people look at, take your real estate holdings and see the return on investment, not just in, the value of it goes up, but how is it serving the business? How is it driving, being a strategic driver for your profitability? How is it contributing to where you're going?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and the situation that we're in today is that we're in a very historical period in terms of not just the economy but also commercial real estate in this country.
Yeah.
Real estate is to a large extent driven by the general economy.
Yeah.
But in the U.S. there's about $6.5 trillion of corporate real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Much of that is financed by about $3.1 trillion in debt.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, the corporate real estate is going to be going through a very transformational period.
Yeah. How long is it going to take, by the way? How many?
Well,
how
I'll tell you. Between 2006 and 2007, more commercial real estate was acquired than in any other two-year period in the history of this country.
Yeah.
A lot of that was acquired. This debt that I'm talking about, this $3.1 trillion debt, mm-hmm. a lot of that was debt that was sustained with amortizations of 10, 15, 20 years,
right.
with five-year balloons. So what we're going to be seeing in 2009, 2010, 2011, and 2012 is a major shakeout in corporate real estate.
Now, are any of those things going to be renegotiated prior to that, or are we looking for a year that's going to have balloons and people crashing and having to, you know, forfeit property? What are you saying?
That's precisely all of the above. I mean, what we're going into right now is a period in which individuals and institutions that have acquired real estate
mm-hmm.
With debt that may not be able to refinance it are going to be facing the possibility of losing their entire equity.
Yeah, one of my guests in this series is Andrew Zizis of Real Estate Strategies, and he's going to be talking about how do you renegotiate your commercial lease, because even though it looked like that was sacrosanct and you'd never be able to do it, you have to now in a lot of cases so you don't end up with this bubble slamming you.
Well, here's the thing, that for mid-sized companies that are using real estate to carry out their business, mm-hmm. they really need to start looking at their real estate now, no matter what kind of lease situation they're in.
True.
Most landlords are willing to listen to any proposition. As one of my brokers told me, is that somebody out there is gonna make a stupid deal with you. So, you know, you need to really put your foot in the water, even though you may have 2-3 years left, 4 years left on your lease, because mm-hmm. some of the strategies that you can use is giving a landlord the assurance that you're going to give them more term
right.
in exchange for less rent. This, for example, one of the less rent today.
Yeah.
Another potential, negotiating point with the landlord today is that you'll again be willing to give them more term for less rent, and you'll also want more flexibility in your lease. You'll want the ability to contract, the ability to expand, termination options, early termination options, and improvements, free rent. So there's a lot of potential right now on the part of tenants. It's a tenants' market, and tenants have the ability to really drive the real estate negotiations in this market.
You know, some of our listeners are people who are leasing, and some of them are the owners of the buildings. And one of the things I'm noticing...
Well, here's the thing, there's a couple things that you need to take a look at. The decision about leasing or owning is one that tends to be pretty specific to a company. Most companies feel that they want to stick to their core competency, which is selling the widgets, making the widgets, selling the service that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
And real estate is not really their business. So most companies tend to prefer to lease simply because it allows them to focus on their core mm-hmm. Competency. But in some cases, ownership may make sense. One of the things that we're doing with our clients now, besides this blend and extend, in other words, going to landlords early and telling the landlord, I've got 3 years on my lease,
mm-hmm.
and we would be willing to extend it for another, mm-hmm. 5 years, so you'll have 8 years worth of term mm-hmm. in exchange for reducing my footprint, in exchange for reducing my rent today,
mm-hmm.
so that for the next 3 years I'll pay less rent than I'm committed to pay under my current lease. Give me flexibility to do, certain things. But another possibility that companies should consider is that if you're a user mm-hmm. of space and you need space,
mm-hmm.
A strategy that we're going to be implementing with a number of our clients is that we go in and we buy the building.
Okay.
The fact that we are going to occupy all or most of the building gives value to that building.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than allowing a landlord to have the value that you're creating,
right.
what we do is we purchase and then we do a sale lease back with a lease in place. And now the landlord is buying a building that's going to have guaranteed cash flow for, a 5-10 year period, and the value of the building goes up significantly. So you end up benefiting from the arbitrage that, your occupancy is creating.
Okay, so now let's back up. Some of the mistakes are that the tenants, the people who are leasing, they underestimate their clout. and they're waiting and negotiating like too close to the end of their lease, and they can do it right now. Don't wait, and stand up more assertively. Have the options, you know, this blend and extend is initiated by the tenant, not the landlord. And some of the times they need to do it because they're actually worried more about the financial stability of the owner of the building than themselves.
Well, no, I don't think that the tenants are worried about that, but
they should be.
The tenants tend to keep thinking in terms of the market that used the real estate market of 5 or 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And that market has disappeared.
Yeah.
And we're in a market that is unlike any market that we're going to see again in our lifetimes.
Yeah,
and
but my point is, mm-hmm. isn't it that you're saying that the tenant, how do I say this? If they need to step up and be more assertive,
proactive.
Because the landlord may have more financial issues than they do, even because they have the building, and if they don't have the occupancy, et cetera, they're more leveraged than it may look.
Well, that's precisely it, and you can be certain that in any market, any landlord is going to be facing some real serious pressures, and the landlords are very concerned about some of their assets becoming destabilized because they begin to lose tenants, and we have to understand that the real estate business is really about people.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in the office business, it's people going to work in offices, white collar workers going to work in offices, occupying space in offices. If you look at the industrial side, it's about blue-collar workers or logistics workers occupying, space. Or if you're in retail, it's the people who work there and customers going to malls.
They have different preferences.
Right. So here's the thing that if you look at the job situation in this country, the U.S. economy is like a shark. It has to be constantly moving in order to stay alive,
mm-hmm.
and we have to create approximately 100,000 jobs a month in order to keep up with population and workforce growth.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see what's been happening over the past several months, we've been losing, in November we lost over 600,000 jobs.
Mm-hmm.
In December, 670. In January of 2009, mm-hmm. 750.
Isn't that amazing?
Right. So what's happening is that because of these job losses,
mm-hmm.
vacancy rates in all classes of real estate
yep.
have been increasing. So the biggest fear that a landlord has in any market is that they may end up losing tenants. They lose cash flow.
Right.
If they finance the building in a way that wasn't prudent, they may have a balloon coming up. So they're going to be very motivated to keep a tenant in their building, to keep their building occupied. And if it means that today they've got to give the tenant a rental rate that, in fact, if you look at it, it's a rate that it results in the landlord losing money. At least the landlord is losing less money.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be willing to structure very aggressive deals today. So you're absolutely right, Aldana. Tenants have to be proactive, and they have to secure the advice of professionals who can help them be effectively aggressive.
And in some cases, you're suggesting to the so-called tenants that they need to be looking at these undervalued assets, buy them themselves, lease to themselves, and get prepared to sell to developers, yeah?
The way we structure it is pretty simple. What we do is if you take a building, a 50,000 square foot building that's vacant, the value of that building is unoccupied is X.
Yeah.
Occupied is X times a multiple, maybe X times 5, X times 10. So what a lot of small companies do is that they go around, they look for space, and they go into that building,
mm-hmm.
and they get what they think is a good deal.
Yeah.
In the meantime, that building went from X to 5 times X,
right.
And that increment is a profit, a windfall that the landlord keeps for themselves.
Oh, yeah. And right now, I mean, the interest rates are low. It's hard to get the financing. We should talk about how to get financing after the break. Let's do that. But I actually am trying to get some of my clients to do their acquisitions now. They're hiring of their star people now because the interest rates are only going to go up. Next year, this time, we're going to have real high interest. And if they're going to make a move, if they're going to be combining and introducing things, do it now while everybody else is holding their breath and waiting.
And what what we do is we can represent a client in the acquisition of a building. The client signs a lease with themselves. They'll have two different structures,
mm-hmm.
and on the same day that they close on the building to acquire it, we have a developer to do a sale leaseback with them.
I got you.
So
ooh, that's
simultaneously.
Exciting.
So what happens is that the our client cashes out. So our client actually ends up with a very good lease, you know, good lease terms and conditions, and also they end up with they end up making a profit on the acquisition and sale of the building, which occurs immediately.
All right, now what I want to do is I'm going to take a break because that's exciting. I'm going to ask you a question when you come back, and that is, okay, let's say a company is dynamic and they're looking to acquire, and there's this a moving target, especially with the financing, the market the way it is right now. They don't know if they can have it all come together. How do you get that moving target while you're also negotiating the moving target in real estate? Now let's take a break. You think about that. When I come back, I'll hit you with it again. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back with Gil Medina.
All we talk about is money. Call us toll-free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
Why is Pepsi cooler than Coke? Why are iPods so popular? In 2005, how can you launch a successful brand? Want to know? Learn about the fascinating and intriguing world of graphic design and branding on Design Matters with Debbie Millman. Every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time, Debbie Millman will provide you with a provocative look into the stimulating world of design as it intersects with contemporary culture. Hear what the experts have to say about creating, maintaining, and launching a brand in today's challenging marketplace. Join us every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time for Design Matters with Debbie Millman, right here on The Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street. But with free family learning programs, you can get the education you need. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free learning programs. 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out. Win your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
Money. Up-to-date business and financial news. Money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler. And this is, I think, part three. I keep missing, you know, exactly which one because the sequence got changed. Yeah, I think this is part three of our series on the changing role of real estate in your strategic decision-making. And I've got a guest today that, I mean, he's just got a tremendous background, and you're going to hear it in how he answers questions. Gil Medina, you know, was a Secretary of Commerce for the state of New Jersey. He's a lawyer, he's an accountant, and now he is the, I'm going to say it right, Gil, I promise, Executive Managing Director for the commercial real estate service firm Cushman & Wakefield. Now, this is a premier firm. They have the reputation for, you know, this integrated thinking. This is the point of the show here. Integrate your strategic planning with what's going on with your real estate. It can't be this separate decision over in a corner with the owners trying to figure out what palace they want to own. No, it's got to be integrated. So now, Gil, what I want to hit you with is, here's what my clients are often dealing with. They're, especially now, it's tough. They're negotiating with people for strategic alliances, acquisitions, and such, and those deals are complicated. It's a moving target, particularly now because maybe the person who was going to sell to you thought they were cashing out, thought it was a good time to get some money for their business, and they're scared, and this is the time to let go. And then they waffle, and they hang on. They go, no, this is the only way I'm going to be able to make money in this economy. I better hang on. And they're a moving target. And then the financing, the banks that they might be dealing with for the acquisition, one minute it looks like they've got good financing, and it's all going to roll in, and then somebody freezes, doesn't pass a strength test from the government, and the financing falls through. Now, overlay. When they got that going on, now they want to deal with their real estate decisions. How do they not end up with too many square feet, too much, space, too little? Walk me through what you do to help with that.
Well, one of this is kind of interesting because we believe that, in science, there's a need for a process that is systematic, mm-hmm. Methodical, and exhaustive. And yet, sometimes we tend to forget that a lot of those same principles that we apply to experimentation and science can apply to business.
Right. And they got too many variables moving. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
But that's variables that's part of life. And the question is, do you have a plan to manage them? What Cushman & Wakefield has done in terms of the real estate process is we actually took, your typical real estate process and we mapped out mm-hmm. Every step and every data point that needs to be considered.
Yep.
And what we did is we prepared a Six Sigma process
Why am I not surprised?
Right, it accounts for everything. So uh-huh. that if you engage in this process, all those variables go into it and they're accounted for and you plan for them. One of the things that is real critical for companies to do is either internally or by securing the services of an architectural firm is do a program. And a program basically consists of looking at the industry you're in, mm-hmm. Finding out what your peers are doing in terms of office sizes and
yep.
common areas, and making certain that you understand where you are in relation to your peers and what the standards for your best of breed peers are, mm-hmm. and you try to emulate those. And what you do then is you also take a look at your business plan and your business model. And we work with our clients in doing this along with the architectural firm that's helping to design and develop the program, as it's called.
I understand what you mean because, some of the distribution clients that I have, when they look at their most successful competitors, when they've acquired a distribution company or another hub or another branch, leaving them separate for a while you're trying to integrate the cultures actually pays off. And if you rush the real estate, into combining it, you actually kill the cultural combination. And then some of the service firms I'm dealing with is the opposite. They leave them stranded out, somewhere else, then who they acquired ends up staying, focused on their own little group and feeling like the corporate people who just bought them don't care, and they're too isolated, and it's not going to be meshed, and they don't realize the value of being acquired. So, what's the best way to have it pay off affects the real estate piece.
Right. So I think, and then the other thing that you have to do is you have to take a look at what we just negotiated a lease for a client.
Mm-hmm.
This client is a technology firm, and it provides services to the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
One of its biggest contracts is a contract with a federal agency.
Mm-hmm.
That contract may get it or may not get it again in two years.
That's an example.
So we actually, negotiated into their lease mm-hmm. their ability to get back space. So,
oh, cool.
They're going to acquire 50,000 square feet,
mm-hmm.
And they will have the option mm-hmm. to get back that space if they lose that contract.
Sounds like the government stuff the car company is saying, if you lose your job, we'll pay your payments for.
Well, we also work with a lot of biotechnology companies, and
mm-hmm.
biotech companies have a business model which would drive most human beings absolutely insane, because you could have a product going through the FDA approval process, and
yeah.
you get one bad trial, and your company goes from $60 a share
exactly.
to penny stock. And you have to somehow or another in the real estate plan factor in that potential for that kind of variability. We had a biotech company that, in fact, had that situation where they were going through clinical trials, and it was almost like, you know, Superman, where there's, you know, three or four possible futures.
Yeah.
And as a real estate advisor, you know, we have to envision those things and build in flexibility into the deal structures that
and
we
you can't whine about it, because that's just the reality of the companies. You know, they may or may not all of a sudden have a $60 million hit positive.
Mm-hmm.
Or they might not, and they can't have their real estate company getting so rigid that they're forced into a model they can't. I've seen one of my clients was a clinical trial business. They were in the trial B level, and the number of people that they needed to have on hand in the office was so high. And then, what, like you just said, you know, the FDA doesn't pass or the trial doesn't result what they want it to be, the size of the firm was going to change dramatically. So even even the support companies that are attached to that have volatile models.
Then also, you know, the life cycle of the company. You know, again, since we're talking about life science companies, you know, the kind of real estate that a life science company may need during a certain phase of the development of a product may be different.
Mm-hmm.
So for, you know, a number of years, they may need extensive laboratory space.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're moving to the pilot manufacturing phase.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're moving to the scale-up and you know, significant manufacturing stage. And so a good real estate professional has to really understand the business model of a client and the drivers. And the client has to make certain that that information is communicated to all of their advisors.
Well, there's a question. How often do, like, an account manager from a Cushman & Wakefield meet with one of your customers that's, you know, you put them in a building and now their life cycle's different? How often do you confer?
Oh, we because of the nature of our business, we one of the cardinal rules of our business is that we stay in communications with our clients constantly, even after we finish with a transaction.
Yeah, you're not
now,
done.
Now, one of the things that we also do, because we're using a Six Sigma process with our real estate process, we have what we call quality functional deployments.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we inquire not just about quantitative factors, but we also talk to companies about the qualitative factors, what, you know, is important to them and their employees, so that we can try to factor in those qualitative values into the real estate. And we actually try to attribute, you know, quantify qualitative factors. Like, for example, I think you mentioned when you were talking that many modern workers like to work in a building that they know is environmentally secure.
They like solar panels. They're appreciative of their owner.
And not that, just the materials.
You know?
Just how about, you know, we've heard a great deal in the past about sick buildings
exactly.
where there were building materials that were used that actually create health problems for workers.
Yep.
So, you know, all these kinds of factors have to be, you know, brought into the real estate.
Now, how much of that do you have to bring into them? Because I find if you do a what's important to you, what's important to your customers, there's things they don't know.
Well, we have a systematic process that forces our clients to think about these things.
Yeah. All right. So
quality,
for example, you bring in, here's some trends around, you know, the greening and the, you know, the energy costs and the urbanization
also,
and where do you stand on this and how are you going to address it?
We have a whole set of interrogatories that we that we work through with the CFO, the director of HR, the facilities people, so the tax people. So we actually have a whole series of processes that we go through with different elements of the enterprise to make sure that we have a full picture and that the various stakeholders and decision makers in a company understand the choices they're making, and they understand that in some cases what, you know, the CFO may consider to be, you know, the greatest value to him or her may not be what is more important to the director of HR.
I was just going to say, you're going to get a different answer from HR.
Right. So we
and one of my reactions listening to you is, okay, there's probably a threshold size of a company that warrants a Cushman & Wakefield.
No, not at all.
You say a series of interrogatories. I can hear some of my $20 million clients going, oh, boy, this is expensive.
No, you know what we do? But because what we do is we scale the process to the company. You don't you know, we don't use for a, you know, Fortune 100 company the same process that we use for that biotech company that
and
had
you don't want to scare them to
25
death,
employees. Well, it's not also to scare them, Adana. It's it's an issue that, you know, they don't face the same issues. They're facing different issues.
And yeah, even just by the square footage, the risks and the combinations and permutations of the decisions are just different.
Well, we work with companies that are, you know, looking for 2,000 square feet to companies that are looking for 2 million square feet. And for each, you have to have a process that's geared to address the drivers of that company, that industry, and that particular firm.
And some, I'll tell you what, some of them are, you know this, just because of the virtualization and people trying to work from home, and an awful lot of the $20 to $50 million companies, their square footage for headquarters and such is smaller than it used to be.
Well, and yeah, absolutely. And that, again, that is one of the factors that we have to consider.
Oh, yeah.
You know, can companies move away from large blocks of space and work in a shared space environment? And, you know, some of the things that, in terms of how space is planned, you know, that we always talked, we thought until recently that the goal was flexible space, but now it goes beyond flexible. It goes more to space that can be personalized.
Yep.
So many companies are looking for ways that if a group of workers need to create a team, they can move walls, they can move partitions, they can move part of the fixtures and equipment, so that they can reconfigure, you know, the workspace.
Exactly.
So the workspace becomes, it's beyond flexible, it's adaptable.
Okay, and I've seen people, what their biggest concern is, the business continuity, if they have any kind of disaster, power outage, et cetera. So now I got to take a break again, and we're going to our last segment. What I'd like to talk about in the next segment is a little bit about financing, you know, how are we going to make sure that all the money comes together for this. We're going to be right back. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Amber. We'll be right back with my interview with Gil Medina.
Stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll free 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On CIO Talk Radio, we talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its risks. Heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, Sunjo Gall interviews business leaders and other experts that are shaping the way we use technology. To learn more about the show, visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Keep up with the changing world of technology and listen to CIO Talk Radio with Sunjo Gall. Listen in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, right here on Voice America Business.
sell, buy, buy, sell. All we talk about is money. Talk to an expert. Call now. Call now. Toll free 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and this is part three of my series on the changing impact of real estate in your strategic planning decisions. And today's guest is Gil Medina, who is the Executive Managing Director of the commercial real estate service firm of Cushman & Wakefield. Now, they're in New Jersey, but you know, you probably know that this is a major international firm, and they've got an excellent reputation for really integrating the real estate strategy and execution with what you're doing with your business. And that's not easy to do. If you play this program back, you're going to hear the kind of language about this is more complicated than most people think, and that's the whole point, is you need somebody who knows what they're doing to help you with the complex decisions. And one of the things that's making it complicated, Gil, is the financing piece. I don't even know where you want to start, but think out loud about your suggestions that you're making to people, or what are you seeing out there? What can they do to make the financing come together quicker?
Well, that, of course, is what, again, I like to always remind people that no business is operating in a vacuum.
No.
If you look at what's happened with the housing, okay, housing starts have tumbled to, almost record lows. Well, that has a lot of impacts. It has an impact because you have less people working in construction jobs. You have less construction materials being purchased. You have a lot less economic activity.
It's amazing how the housing stuff is connected to
this. Right, but it's all connected. Fine. And then if you look at the personal savings rate, right, historically the U.S. U.S. Citizens have their saving rate as a percent of disposable income has been one of the lowest in the world. But guess what's happened between 2006 and today, it's increased significantly. Right now, our savings rate has almost quadrupled from what it was, in 2007. And if you look at jobs, the job losses, so all these things are connected. And when we start saying that, there are problems with the financial services sector that have to be fixed. That's why people have been so focused on it, because it does impact everything.
Right.
Now, I will tell you that we have seen significant easing of debt capital.
I have.
And
too.
We see debt capital.
You almost don't want to say it out loud. Some of the community banks have had money to loan the whole time.
Well, let me just say something. That's right. That regional banks have been lending all along. Most of them have very healthy balance sheets.
Mm-hmm.
The middle market client, the middle market client, which is most of our listeners, have an opportunity to develop banking relationships with regional institutions, local banking institutions that are very anxious to lend money.
Yep.
In addition to that, if you're talking about real estate, half of the genius of real estate is getting what you want with other people's money.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the negotiation process is to get the landlord to put money into your project. So, again, because of the market conditions and the disbalance between tenants and landlords, on behalf of clients, we negotiate very aggressive leasehold improvements that are assumed by the landlord.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, we negotiate very aggressive free rent. We get free rent of significant numbers of months for the client, depending on the size of the occupancy and the term of the lease and the landlord.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of ways to finance the real estate, quote-unquote, finance the real estate transaction in ways that include your typical, debt, but also include atypical ways, which include, the landlord putting significant money or providing you with significant rent.
And I've seen this on an international basis. I experienced it myself, when there was when Germany was wanting to have more American companies coming there, particularly some of the smaller ones. They were more than willing, I'm not going to mention all the people, but more than willing to have us be rent-free for 18 months.
Well, and I forgot to mention that, Aldana, another way to get money into a deal is state incentives.
Yep. You know,
a lot of companies will negotiate transactions, a mm-hmm. move or a relocation or an expansion,
yep.
without thinking about state incentives. And if you manage the incentives properly,
yep.
5% of the project could be financed by public entities through grant money or significantly below market interest rate loans.
Well, particularly now. If you're bringing jobs to an area, people wanting that for the tax base, and they're wanting that for, the impact on the restaurants, everything.
Within our Six Sigma process, we incorporate a whole section on incentives, and we make sure that our clients are very clear. Now, you don't know how many companies we've had conversations with that were represented by professionals who weren't extremely meticulous, and they've given up millions of dollars of incentives that they could have secured.
Well, so some people, they just don't trust government, and they just don't even figure it's going to be worth their paperwork.
I'll be honest with you. It doesn't even arise to something as glorious as distrust of government.
Yeah.
It just happens that they just companies and sometimes professional advisors just overlook it. And, we certainly don't, because we have seen we have seen transactions receive significant incentive support. Just to give you one example, we're working with a medium-sized company,
right?
And this company is going to have the ability to determine a number of states where it could go: Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland. And we've already begun to pro forma the different factors, how they're going to impact the cash flow of the company, the differential rental rates, differential tax rates, differential labor rates. And obviously, we've plugged in a number that we're very comfortable with in terms of the incentives. But this company will be getting about $500,000 a year in incentives for 10 years, which is, makes a huge impact on your bottom line.
Now, I want to shift to you focusing about where things are headed in the future. I've got 3 minutes to the close, which is ridiculous, but... So I want to make sure we give some contact information for you, because what happens, the listeners listen to this and they get to thinking and they want to reach out to my expert guests. So, Gil, where can they reach you?
Well, first of all, let me begin with my email address, which is always the best way to find me, because my BlackBerry's on 24/7.
Although I will say to people that you have an assistant who helps you with scheduling. Barbara is really good. So.
Right, but if it's a prospective client, I want to find out as soon as possible. And
that's true.
My priorities are changed very quickly when it comes to a prospective client or a current client.
Yeah.
But my email address is Gil, G-I-L, dot Medina, M as in man, E, D as in David, I, N as in Nancy, A, at cushwake.com, CUSHWAKE.com, Gil. Medina at cushwake.com. And my number.
Is there a phone number that you'd like them to use too?
201-508-5226.
Now, that's excellent. Now, for people to reach me, because a lot of times the questions come to me, if you remember my name, it's easy to reach me. It's Aldana at ambler.com. So Aldonna at AMBLER.com. And the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-ALDONA. I own 6 companies, so I had too many telephone numbers. So if you're dealing directly with me, that's the number you use. So in the last maybe minute here, and I know that's nuts, Gil, think about the future. What bottom line, the key thing that you want to recommend to people about their real estate decisions?
Well, one of the things we have to keep in mind is that I think there's been a tendency for all of us, all business people, to... be significantly overwhelmed by the economic challenges that we're all facing.
True.
But I've been looking at the job numbers, and frankly, I think we hit bottom in January, and I think that we are in the middle of a rebound.
Mm-hmm.
I think the April job numbers are going to begin to bear that out.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all,
I think
we have to start,
the bad stuff's slowing.
Right, but I think we have to start, you know, really thinking positively and also start thinking in terms of growth because the economy is beginning to turn, and these are the times that we have to start thinking strategically about what we're going to do.
And frankly, you know what? I think it's the middle people on this call that are listening to this that are going to make that happen.
And here's the thing, Aldana, that in terms of real estate, it's a lagging indicator, just like the employment numbers.
Okay.
So although I firmly believe that we're beginning to recover, our economy is beginning to recover, the real estate market still has quite a few months, you know, 18 months, 24 months, 30 months, where it's still going to be the commercial real estate side of the economy is going to face some very significant challenges.
Okay.
And right now, the balance of power is in the favor of renters, of tenants.
Right.
And you've got to take advantage of these conditions to make sure that you lock in your real estate for the next 10 years.
That's a really good reminder. Now, unfortunately, I have to wrap up. I want to thank you for being an excellent guest. I knew you would be. And make sure anybody's got a question, contact Gil or I, again, at Aldana@Ambler.com or 1-888-ALDANA. And my wish for the listeners, as it is every week, is for accelerated growth with sustained profitability. And remember that the secret to the phrase is reverse the phrase. First, you have to know what drives your profitability and you can sustain it. Then you look at growth strategies and the step on the gas to accelerate, not the other way around. This is the Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, signing out.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into the Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of the Growth Strategist. Right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.